This show is powered by BL3P, the Lightning-enabled European Bitcoin exchange.
Connect the build.
Max DeMarco, Bitcoin filmmaker and digital nomad.
Marcus Aurelius Antonius was a Roman emperor from 161 to 180. He was the last of the rulers known as the Five Good Emperors and the last emperor of the Pax Romana. Besides being emperor, he was known for being a great philosopher. He kept notes which were later translated and bundled as a book called Things to Oneself. Have you read this book?
I have read Meditations, the other one not yet.
Did you pay an extra fee to get room number 210 at your hotel in Miami?
No, I didn't.
Is there a better way to teach people about Bitcoin than making films, documentaries about it?
No.
And Negroni is an Italian cocktail made of gin, vermouth rosso and Campari, garnished with orange peel. Did you know it was first mixed in Florence, Italy in 1990 at Café Giacosa?
No.
The Big Short is a 2015 American comedy drama film directed by Adam McKay. It is based on the 2010 book The Big Short, Inside the Doomsday Machine by Michael Lewis, showing how the 2007 and 2008 financial crisis was triggered by the United States housing bubble. Was it because of this movie you eventually got interested in Bitcoin?
Yes and no.
Carlo Weibel, better known by his stage name Crow, is a German rapper, singer and producer. He describes his music as a mixture between rap and pop, and he is known for wearing a panda mask on stage. Besides being a musician, he is also a designer and movie producer. Is it a dream to co-produce a movie with him?
Definitely, yes.
The best feature of Adobe Premiere is autosave.
Yes, no question.
Are you going to make a movie about Bitcoin Amsterdam this year?
Who knows, maybe.
Being a digital nomad, do you live on a Bitcoin standard?
That's a good question. Yes.
Are you Satoshi Nakamoto?
No.
Welcome to the Connect the World weekly podcast. I'm Edward.
And I'm Steph. We are ready to take you with us into the beautiful world of the Lightning Network.
Enjoy the ride. This is episode 75 of Connect the World, and this show is made possible by our friends from Blep BL3P. Thank you guys for helping us with our mission, and if you also want to help out, then follow us on Twitter, look us up on YouTube, subscribe there, or if you have any questions, then go to our Telegram group, and there you can ask us everything. Right, Steph?
That's correct, man.
Yeah, and of course a donation is always welcome. Well, we don't have a highlight this week, so we're going straight to
our friendly guest.
Yeah.
Max DeMarco, welcome.
Thank you.
Good to have you on the show.
Thanks, guys. That was actually a lot of energy. I liked it.
Awesome.
Well, some of the answers were a bit doubting.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Are you going to make a movie about Bitcoin Amsterdam this year? And I think I know the answer, but I think you can't tell us yet.
Yeah, you guessed right. Yes.
Okay. You're not allowed.
Then we have the answer. Well, right into the next one then, because The Big Short was one of your favorite movies. And we asked you if it's because of this movie you got eventually interested in Bitcoin. And you said, well, yes, but not completely. Can you explain?
So it didn't push me into the Bitcoin rabbit hole, but certainly it showed me, or it transported a feeling to be early, to see a trend very early on. And since everybody was talking, oh, inflation is coming and so on, before it actually happened, this movie kind of, I don't know, it showed me, or I identified with the people in there, because before it even happening, I saw the movie and I was like, oh shit, that's probably the same with Bitcoin. And now I would say we're like three quarter through the movie, and now it's we're at the point like, yeah, don't dance, the economy is kind of like crashing, don't be happy, although you've been right the last years. So it kind of just manifested my belief into Bitcoin onto the next level, I would say.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm curious because you're a filmmaker and well, yeah, obviously there are some real classics at the top of the lists of the best rated movies. The Big Short is also good rated, but not considered one of the best movies ever made. But what's it from you, from the filmmaker's perspective, that's triggering this enthusiasm with the movie in you? Mm-hmm.
It's actually not the filmmaking part. It's really the identification part with the people there. So I wouldn't say it's like they did it the best filmmaking possible there, but it's just like the storytelling is just so closely to how I experienced the last years, which is just like for me, like mind blowing. And that's basically why.
Well, that's what movies tend to do, right? If you can feel it like you're with your own experience, it just triggers something. And then, exactly. I totally understand.
It's but it's just hard to identify with Iron Man, right? So
Well, it would be great, of course. That's fantasizing.
Don't tell Eddie Steele. His surname is Steele, Eddie Steele.
Well, Iron Man, oh man, that's great. But I'm curious, your life before Bitcoin videos, before maybe being a filmmaker, what did you do before all that?
So before that, I was like, I always say in the most feared industry ever. So I was in the music industry. This is basically where I come from. So like my filmmaking past started already when I was like 12 or something. But I always say I lost this passion of mine by going into music, which is also creative. But it wasn't the thing that I truly wanted to do. So before that, I was working, I produced my own music. I had like a DJ project. And then at some point I worked within big music labels, trying to find new artists and then break them in the German market. And I then somehow realized, okay, this is like the most feared industry ever. I need to go out. And then I discovered Bitcoin and I was like, holy shit, how can a music producer do anything within the Bitcoin industry? And then I started editing like a lot of Bitcoin podcasts. So I opened up an agency where I was like behind the scenes of a lot of Bitcoin podcasts. Great. And then with this, I wanted to contribute myself and started making videos eventually.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah.
And it's nice because, I put in a small question because I also used to produce music and when I started producing music, it was on a Windows laptop, a Windows PC. And I used Cubase SX, so a very, very early version of Cubase. But I didn't have the autosave option, or I didn't click on it. And every time I was in the middle of a project working hours and hours and hours, my computer crashed. Mm-hmm. And then I lost all the things I was working on. And it frustrated me so much that, and a friend of mine who was really professional by the time already, he told me, well, just, okay, one thing, just try and look for the autosave button and just get rid of the Windows computer and buy a Mac.
Yes.
Because then all your problems are solved. Yeah. So it was all the way back then that I switched to Mac and then never switched to another brand anymore.
All
my problems were indeed solved. So, and I saw you on your Twitter feed. I saw something that your Adobe was crashing all the time, and I was like, "Oh, you should have turned on the autosave."
Yeah, I have it like for the nerds in here. I have it like now on 5 minutes because my products are getting so big that like they are regularly crashing. It's just like I got used to it. So.
Yeah, but is it because the files you're using are asking too much of the computer? Or?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Because in music, because 5 minutes still sounds a lot to me. Because in when producing music, well, you may also know then sometimes you have like the melody you want, or like the percussion you want, and then well it can be created within a couple of seconds, and then 5 minutes is still a bit long. But
okay. Yeah, and with video editing, you can also nest files together, and then you can make it more complex. So that becomes very hard for your computer, or PC, or Mac.
Yeah, man. And you're filming all your content in 4K or something?
Yes, all in 4K.
Okay.
And so that's like, I can't even, like, often I can't even play it fully. So the first time I see the video really is when I export it. So I'm like, it's like super buggy and everything. But
yeah. And then record in log and then you color grade. Yeah.
So look at I got here. Hey, you know what you're talking about.
Well, I'm a professional photographer. So And we have a lot of videographer friends that also make videos of us. Mm-hmm. And then we received the log files and we must color grade ourselves. But
the first time you receive it, you're like, why does this look so shitty?
That's right. It's all washed out. And
No,
we should make an episode on producing music and video.
Let's go.
Well, of course. Let's take photos in it. I was just curious, Max, because you just arrived back home. You're now in, home. What is home for a digital nomad? But you're born in Germany. You're in Germany right now, but you just came back from El Salvador. Can you tell us what you did there? Because you just arrived back here last week, right?
Exactly. So I was before that in Miami for the conference, like from El Salvador to Miami and from Miami now to Germany. But in El Salvador, I was filming a new project, it's hopefully going to come out in like 1 or 2 months. It depends, because like I have so many video projects aligned now. It's going to be about Bitcoin education happening in El Salvador and showcasing how it's really been done, what the benefits are, what the problems are, and just giving a glimpse into the workings of the people on the ground.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Cool. Also education, obviously.
Very educational.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, yes.
Perfect, man. And how was the conference?
Very cool. I enjoyed it. It was super cool to meet all the people again, which I haven't seen for like a year or something. And yeah, I mean, obviously it's conference, so you don't get a lot of sleep, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and it's funny that you say that, because we also were at Bitcoin Amsterdam last week, and I'm talking to myself, I didn't saw any of the panels that were organized, because you meet so many people within the space, right? So it's like a big cocktail party, just drinking beers and having a chat to each other, right?
Yeah, so, exactly.
But I think the one thing I want to change, because obviously I'm also going to Bitcoin Amsterdam this year, is that I really have to put myself into one of those panels and just see something of the content.
Yeah.
Yes.
The downside is it's also recorded, right? So you can also watch it live from the couch at your home.
Yeah,
so.
But if you're there, then the people around you also see it, and you can talk with them, and then you meet new people. So that's
correct.
It's a giant get together. That's for sure. But it's always nice to meet people.
We have a lot of questions prepared for you, Max.
About, yes, I'm ready.
The movie projects you did. Oh, you're already ready. Well,
yes.
Cool. Let's get into the 21 minutes then, guys.
Yeah, let's do it.
Conectează lumea.
How do you see your role as a filmmaker in the Bitcoin community, and how do you hope your work will influence the perception and adoption of Bitcoin? Because that's the end goal, I think.
Mm-hmm. So I think my role, or how I perceive myself within the space, is kind of, my goal is to showcase stories behind Bitcoin and show that we are basically people trying to make the world a better place. And I want to humanize this space, because I feel like, you know, people who have no idea about Bitcoin, people who are here the first time about it, they might have a lot of misperceptions, which at least I also had when I was hearing Bitcoin or content about this. So with the films I do, I mainly want to take the viewer with me on exploring the space within Bitcoin. So I think there are like so many different stories and interesting people from different backgrounds. And so I just want to showcase those different stories to the people. So they like, I know that I won't be the person like Safedean explaining Bitcoin from A to B. But I want to showcase them the human side of it and also the emotional side behind of it. Because like if you read about it, if you see the price ticker, it's like, I think it's very cold. And I think with video, you asked me before that if video is the best way to orange pill people. I think it's the best way to transport emotions. And I think the space was lacking this before. And so my goal is really to, showcase what's happening in the space and take the viewer on a journey of, even if you don't understand Bitcoin, that the story is interesting to understand, why is this person doing this or this company?
Yeah, well, you nailed it, in my opinion, at least with your project, The Silent Bitcoin Revolution of Africa.
Thank
really,
you.
Really great movie. But you highlighted both the challenges and opportunities of Bitcoin adoption in Africa with that movie. And how did this project impact your understanding of Bitcoin's potential in emerging markets? Did it impact? I guess it did.
Yeah, like totally. Because as I said with The Big Short, it's different to like, Big Short is a movie like showcasing it, how I felt as a Bitcoiner. For me now, living in South Africa, I saw it face to face. So for you, you probably have a similar experience like The Big Short. But for me, talking to the people, understanding what Bitcoin really means for them was definitely life-changing. Because you hear maybe Alex Gladstein or some people on podcasts talking that Bitcoin can change lives in those countries. But like talking to them and really seeing, okay, this kid's life really changed because he's able to save now in Bitcoin, is definitely something which, yeah, you can't even describe it in words, I would say, because it's really powerful. And yeah, so I would say if you ask me how it impacted me, it's just like, I understood how important the work we do here is. And that like, even, you know, even if like with my video, if one kid in South Africa sees it and then researches it, you know, that's enough for me, because I know, okay, I made an impact on this kid or a guy. So yeah.
And did you then maybe, because you brought up The Big Short yourself, did you maybe copied a style of the filmmaker that you also wanted to implement in making this movie or something? Maybe in your subconsciousness or so, but
so if you would know how I would make my videos, it's very funny, because I just start, I have no idea how it's gonna end, and it's like I have a lot of filmmaking friends, and all of them they call me the winger, because I'm just winging everything, because like my storyline is like I have like four projects now on which I'm working. And all of them are like super chaotic and stuff like that. But for me, it's kind of like a creative freedom, which I need to be able to make my stories so they make sense. So it wasn't a conscious decision, but I'm pretty sure that some of the storytelling techniques or filmmakers impacted my work to a certain degree. But yeah, I'm just winging everything. It's like super chaotic. So,
so the work is afterwards, that you have all the footage, and then, I was also thinking, well, how do you balance the technical aspects of Bitcoin, because it is complex to showcase, with the human interest element in your films to appeal to a broader audience. So also perhaps some non-coiners or no-coiners. And then because you add some interviews, but you also add some visual appealing aesthetics. What is your key to use those things and also explain it a little?
Mm-hmm. So I always try to put myself into the viewer's perspective. And by doing my videos, I'm in two perspectives. One is the hardcore Bitcoiner, and one is the one who never heard about Bitcoin. So, so I'm always trying to satisfy both viewers, because I know that like my audience, or the people, my friends, the people who I like communicate with, are like the hardcore Bitcoiners. And but also I know, or my goal is obviously to open up this world to the non-technical people who have no idea about it. And so it's always, I try to translate complex topics in a way like my sister would understand it. So I have like she's now 7 years old, and I explain Bitcoin to her, and like she gets it. So I try to really boil it down to the basic stuff, and then, as you say, combine it with visual, because I think it's very important to have like a visual guidance, especially when it's like technical stuff. But it's really like trying to view what I'm doing with having no idea what it is. And it's sometimes actually it's hard, because so for example, for the South Africa episode, I had to delete 10 minutes. I had 10 minutes already cut, and then I was like, yeah, but this doesn't add real value to neither of those groups. They were like, yeah, okay, those were like, what the fuck am I watching here?
Some B-roll or...
It was me traveling, actually.
Oh, like, okay. Yeah.
Not important.
No, it's like super cool footage.
Yeah.
Like, and I still have it. Like, we did like super cool stuff. And
behind the scenes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And like, but I can't, like, and it was like heartbreaking for me, because so much work and stuff, but I needed to cut it out, because otherwise like people would like, both of them, the Bitcoiners would be, yeah, this is like, I want Bitcoin content, why am I watching Max traveling? And the others would be like, yeah, basically the same. So
keep them interested, and then that's even more important, because then you can tell your story.
Exactly.
And if they just think, well, after 2 minutes I'm gonna zap away, then
For example, like if you, for the storytelling, it's like with this group, with the no coiners or pre-coiners, like you need to explain every step, because like you would like, they might be interested, but once they are overwhelmed by the topics, they will go away. So this is why, like, and I think like the Bitcoiners, they are okay with some explanations. They obviously know it, but they understand that for someone who doesn't understand it yet, we have to take them on the way. So I try to make it as short as possible, but I often need it to not lose the mainstream viewer.
Sure. And I saw on Twitter that you also inspire other filmmakers with your content. In terms of filmmaking, what are some of the lessons you have learned from your experiences that other aspiring filmmakers in the Bitcoin space could benefit from?
The first one is just start. Like, if you want to become a filmmaker or make something creative, just start. Because, like, I started making films, like, what was it, like 2 years ago? And I, as I said before, with 12 I did it, and with 14, 15, but like really doing my own stuff was like 2 years ago. And from there, I would say, just try, like, but that's my way. Like I try to break things and just wing it. And because most of the things you as an editor see, the viewer won't see. Like the viewer is very much in the story, and sometimes I get like, you know, like some of the effects and so on. Like it's just not that important. It's focus on the story, and it's not important how the quality of the camera is and so on, because the thing that engages people is really the story. So you need to learn how to engage the viewer with the story. And once you can do this, it doesn't matter if you do it with your phone, if you do it with a camera. It's, I think nowadays, really about the storytelling, which makes the difference.
Yeah.
And as you delve deeper into Bitcoin related content, are there any topics or areas you feel are not getting enough attention and that you would like to explore in your future films?
Yes, definitely. So Yeah, I'm kind of like now branching a little bit out of the Bitcoin mm-hmm. core content, with going more into philosophical topics, and because I know I'm a Bitcoin filmmaker, but Bitcoin touches every aspect of my life or your life.
Yeah.
So I want to communicate or tell stories about those things which Bitcoin touches and might change. So one of the projects I'm working on is education. Like, how is our education system broken right now, and how might we able to fix it? Or I'm working on a Noster documentary. It's basically the same, because like Bitcoin showed me or gave me an understanding what's broken in the world. And so I try to go a little bit further away from the Bitcoin and not make like Bitcoin education, but like more the implications of a Bitcoinized world or topics like that. Yeah.
Yeah. You also hear the stories of going to the moon 100K and laser eyes all the time. Right. And it's very, in my opinion, it's very boring. I'm way more interested in, well, the stuff you film, like all the communities and people really benefiting from Bitcoin, or maybe relying on this technology to make their life better. I mean, you're now in Germany, we are in Holland. You know, we don't have something to complain about. We can complain about plenty of things, but not real things that we need for our life. So I think, I'm way more interested in that storyline.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And on the Geyser platform, you have a campaign running. There are three milestones on your list that you also want to finish. One is Costa Rica. And the other one is Bitcoin is Hope. And the last one is financial freedom. Can you explain these video ideas that you have? And perhaps one of the listeners or viewers will give you some extra support in your campaign.
Yes. Basically, that's maybe interesting to start with this. So I'm self-funded. I don't have any sponsors yet. I'm doing everything on a value for value basis, which basically means, I guess your listener knows it, but who doesn't? Yeah. So I have like a bunch of projects lined up. One is the Costa Rica one, which basically turned into the Noster documentary, where I'm trying to like start from zero to, okay, what is Noster? How did the internet start? Where were problems? And then end up how Noster might be solving some of those problems. And this is one of them. Then one of the other ones I'm currently working on, as I said, is like the education one. It's actually not on the Geyser yet, so I need to update this one. That's basically
you only have one day, because this video will be released
tomorrow. Yeah, I'm gonna do it right now. Wait, no, kidding. Bitcoin is Hope is one which, this is gonna be a longer project, because I might be like, my life changed so much while understanding Bitcoin, and I'm trying to make a bigger project showcasing how lives change by adopting or understanding Bitcoin. And this comes from like personal values which you have, or like business ideas. It's such a broad thing, but I started filming it, and it's probably gonna take me a year or something. I'm just gonna keep getting mm-hmm. different people's stories about why Bitcoin represents hope for them, and then hopefully be able to make like a full documentary about it, because I think this is for me the hardest concept to grasp or to understand, why Bitcoin changes people so much. And so this is like a bigger project, a bigger goal, which I want to do.
Yeah. And talking about that self-funding project running on Geyser, how is it for you as a filmmaker to rely on people donating to your projects? Is it, I mean, can you plan months ahead, projects ahead, or how do you work? How do you plan? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's very important for me that people like give me some sats back, obviously, because my projects are very high cost, which I'm always pre-funding. So I'm financing everything in advance, and then it's just I'm just putting it out there and seeing if it's profitable or not. So right now it's more or less it's a test, I would say. So I want to keep doing this because I think it's important to just do it without sponsors. But I'm also now in a position, for example, with the Nostra documentary, where I might be considering getting a sponsor because it's just so much costs which I need to pay. And it's going to be very hard to get this in with value for value because like I have an animator which I have to pay and like all of the travel costs and so on. So I'm my goal is really to stay value for value. And this is kind of also, I think I might do it for the next month or something. But I don't know if it's feasible or not. It's really, it's depending on the people watching it and if they like it. And it's not like, I don't expect anyone to pay anything. It's just like, hey, if you like it, like a dollar or something, this already helps.
And it could also be a difference, right? Because the thing with Noster, that's so big, that's even more work. So you can make of course some distinction between the things you make, maybe some smaller videos or something. That makes it for the community fun to help out.
Yeah, to get. I don't know yet. I'm first now focusing on the editing. I really like the value for value concept, and I hope that it's going to work. And so that's why I'm like, because my thesis is Bitcoin is going to grow, Bitcoin's going to grow, and therefore, like, I'm just going to put my content out and see if people value it or not. And if not, then I might just need to do something different. And then it's the market which tells me that, okay, what they do is shit or whatever.
Yeah, well, I think if you can withstand the bear market we're in, it can get better, right?
Exactly.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Lightning Network. In the Silent Bitcoin Revolution of Africa, you illustrate the use of the Lightning Network in African countries also. Can you talk more about it? Its impact and potential in these areas from your own perspective?
Maybe that's also interesting now what I experienced in El Salvador to talk a little bit about this, because so a good thing about South Africa is that basically everybody gets onboarded on Lightning, because the people who are onboarding or teaching the South Africans, they obviously know that they need to understand and use Lightning for them to be feasible. And I just was in El Salvador, and because of some, I don't want to be one or the other way, but let's just say the fees are very high. So I, for example, experienced there where people had, I don't want to be too dramatic, but this is impacting real lives if you don't understand a Lightning Network, and if we are in a situation like this. So I was with some El Salvadorians, and they wanted to withdraw from the Chivo wallet, and it was actually someone who understands the Lightning Network and normally uses it, but he accidentally didn't switch and sent the money on chain. Yeah. And so I think he wanted to withdraw like $100 or something, and he needed to pay $30 off on fees.
Yeah.
So
that's a bummer.
That's a lot. If you like, I think the average income is like $300 or $400 or something.
Yeah. So it's 10%.
Yeah. 10%. It's a lot.
So if you ask me how it impacts the lives there, I would say it's very, very crucial for them to understand it. Because that's also something, you know, all of us, we are like coming from a privileged Western position. We don't understand how it is to live day by day. And I also think it's very hard for us to understand. Obviously, if you talk with them, you can have some compassion or emphasize, but I don't think that we are really able. Oh, I hear the. I think it's just really, really hard for us to really understand what it means to live day by day. So for people who are able to save some money in Bitcoin and to get some savings there, it's very, very crucial to understand the Lightning Network. Also, the volatility and fluctuations. We can say, I don't care because within the 3 to 4 years, I won't use this. But people in El Salvador often can't say this.
No,
that's right.
I can ask you one more question.
Sure.
Yeah. Still
have time. Are you even allowed to do this?
Of course.
fast. Let's go. Yeah.
What unique challenges or opportunities did you identify for the implementation of the Lightning Network in South Africa? South Africa can also be El Salvador, obviously, while shooting your film.
Yeah. So, some of the implementations were still a little bit buggy. So the Pick and Pay, they still have an app in between which needs to translate the QR code from the point of sale for your wallet. So I actually don't know if this is solved yet, because when I was there, it was still in beta, and I was there January until April, and I think in November, if I'm not mistaken, or something like this, they rolled it out. So I don't know if they were able to get it done. But to be honest, I didn't have that much issues with it. I mean, custodial wallets and so on, setting aside. That's also a thing, like, those people don't care if it's custodial or not. Like, I know we Bitcoiners and we Maxis, we might be like, yeah, it's the right way. But to be honest, as I said, with the price fluctuations, those people don't have the capacity to really think about this. It just needs to work.
So
it's easier to onboard somebody on a custodial wallet, which has a better UX and so on, than try to onboard someone on a non-custodial, and he's never going to use it. And then I totally understand why this is might be fundamentally wrong to onboard someone in custodial, but that's, again, I think the thing that we as Westerns, we need to understand, they just live so different lives than we do. So we should just make it as easy as possible. And if it means, okay, there's some custodial risk, but at least they can use Bitcoin, and it's not, they, you know, managing the keys and so on, it's just very, very hard for those people. So
But I think that's the big challenge, as you already mentioned, that it's for us, or for the people screaming, well, you need to do it like this, like that, it's very hard to really understand what they are going through and how their lives
and are. That's why it's so important that your films get out there, that more people see it with their own eyes, because then we see a much broader story.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is not, we're just too far away.
Exactly. I can understand, like, I was the same, and I understand why a lot of Bitcoiners are this way. And I think also it's healthy to be that way. But also we need, I think in this space, we need to have a little bit of an understanding for people and be patient. Like, if somebody knows how to use a custodial wallet, they might be more interested in Bitcoin a year later, and then be like, I need to hold my own keys and so on.
Yeah, man. Well, thanks.
Yeah, thanks.
And you're doing a great job, by the way, in helping the world, telling the story of all those people. Because one thing that that pops up in my mind, you said, well, I'm not a Saifedean or something, but in fact you are. But you are just a Saifedean of filmmaking, right? I mean, you're doing exactly the same work, the same benefit, and I think it's almost important to make those films and let the people enjoy and follow what's happening in all those communities. So,
and it can have within the years another purpose. So within two or 4 years or five, then it's that moment in time. So I think it's important to tell it like this.
Thank you. So
thanks again.
I appreciate it.
We had a lot of lightning questions. So perhaps some other time when you're a little more busy with your films, then would be great to have you back.
Yes, for sure. I would love to do that.
That's perfect, mate.
Connect o mundo.
We still have one question left for you.
Okay.
You can choose from one of the following three. You may choose from John Bahari. He's from Bold.Fun. Mo, she's a Bitcoin designer community at Spiral BTC. She's a fellow Dutchie, by the way. Or Herman Vivier. Well, you obviously know Herman from Bitcoin Ekasi. So which one of the three will you choose?
Mo? I would say Mo. Let's try this one.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That's the technical one, right, Edward?
Perfect. Okay, here she comes.
Hey, I'm Mo from Spiral and the Bitcoin Design community, and this is my question. What are the two most common steps that most Lightning wallets ask you to do when onboarding yourself?
Most common steps when onboarding.
Yeah.
Lightning wallets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there is a difference, right? Because Phoenix wallet is different than Breeze or some other wallet.
So I think most Lightning wallets are like backing up with your email address, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first one.
Like, for example, the Chivo wallet.
I never use this one. I don't know. I know. It's
no, but I think Breeze is, if I remember
I think Breeze, Moon, Wallet of Satoshi.
Mm-hmm.
Are we even allowed to say all those? Please sponsor this podcast.
Yeah, of course, of course.
Now they should.
Well, and most of them start with the seed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Phoenix Wallet isn't, and there is another one.
Wallet of Satoshi doesn't have a seed. Yeah.
No. Okay.
Yeah.
So where that makes it. Yeah. Easier.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we will send. This is like a very small. Mo needs this because she's working on the design.
Mm.
So now she knows where to work on.
Well, maybe it's good for people that are listening to just tell us what your favorite Lightning wallet asks when or asked in when you installed it. And you wanted to use it and the onboarding process, because of course in time this needs to get easier and easier and more logical. So it's good to start a topic about that. So perhaps we're asking that on our Twitter channel or Noster or whatever, and just it's good to talk about it and help Mo, right?
Yes, let's help Mo.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Conecta el mundo.
Yeah, Max, again, thanks. Where can people follow you, man? We already talked about the Geyser project, but, well, where can people find you on Geyser?
It's at Max DeMarco there. Mm-hmm. Then on YouTube is also at Max DeMarco. I have an artist which has a very similar name, so you might need to add Bitcoin behind it. But if it's Max DeMarco Bitcoin, you find me. I'm still small, so
in time.
Yes. Hopefully, with the next videos, it's gonna be up there.
Yeah.
So my NPub is NPub 1L.
Well, if you make a NIP 05 with Max DeMarco on Noster, then you're the only one. That other Max DeMarco can't be on Noster, right?
True. Yes.
Just one and only.
Yeah. And on Twitter, obviously, Max DeMarco. Handle is It's Max DeMarco there. And all my DMs are open. If anybody wants to reach out for any projects, or if you're a filmmaker or something, or musician, always happy to connect. So just feel free to reach out.
Great. Perfect. Thanks again.
Cool.
And thanks for listening. And thanks to all members participating in Satoshi Radio Rings of Fire. And of course, thanks to everyone helping to connect the world with us. And if you like our content, then please support us in our mission. Visit our website, connecttheworld.live, where you can also donate and subscribe, like, and share our content on your favorite platform. We need you to complete our mission, connect the world. So keep those nodes running, sats flowing, and rings burning. And see you all next week on the same Lightning channel. Hasta luego, Max.
Auf Wiedersehen.
See you. Bye-bye.